I'm going to teach you how to say I'm sick in Korean. I would say 나 아파요. 나 아파요. Or if you're really hurting, you can say 나 많이 아파요. 나 많이 아파요. And that's how you say I'm sick in Korean.
And here's how you say I'm sick in English, everybody. This is the Air Raid Podcast, episode 54.
Woo!
And what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. Welcome to the show. Thank you for downloading or streaming from Stitcher or from the Noisebeam Network site at noisebeam.com. One of the many great shows that we now have. And welcome to two new shows joining the Noisebeam Network.
Okay.
Kicking in Zubas, which is Thunder, or you may know him as Camaro Kev's new show from Stack of Dimes.
Nobody beats me in the kitchen.
Very, very cool show. Wholly devoted to MMA fighting.
I'm not joking around here.
And also Double Plus Good Games. Which is I think they're located down in Portland, Oregon, and they do all video game stuff. So two great new shows that you need to check out. But welcome to the show, everybody. Of course, this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes once every week. I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
I'm so not a raper.
No, I'm not a raper. But you know what? I am feeling under the weather. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice right now, but I am not feeling at the top of my game.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
I don't know. I've got a bunch of stuff kind of mixed up. On the mixer and things like that. I'm not thinking very straight, but we have a great show planned for you today, regardless of me feeling ill on this episode 54. Two very important people from the runners of things over at Seattle Pulp, this brand new Seattle kind of entertainment, food, music blog, things to do around the city of Seattle that just started, this new blog that just started on the Finn Network, which is Fisher Interactive, which is my employer here at the Air Raid Podcast. They are going to be stopping by. Maybe I should mention their names, you might say. Jenny Kuglin and Shane Mayling are going to be stopping by here shortly. Like I've said before, I think it was in the last episode. I have been working out. I have been back at the pool, and testing the waters, so to speak. Well, not so much testing anymore because I am actually swimming laps. But holy shit, man, that is kicking my butt. It is totally kicking my butt. My stamina is not where it used to be, where it once was. And that's probably partly because I've been a smoker for 15 years. That could play a part in it. And also, I've been sedentary since college. So, that could play a part in it, too. I was just trying to think of how many years I've been out of college, and I don't even know. I can't think of it. 6 years? That's interesting. I know you all wanted to hear that. So, an interesting thing happened to me the other day when I was at the pool that I'd like to talk about here really quick before we get to Jenny and Shane. You know what? Yeah. Tell me what you guys think about this. You can email me at aaron@air-raid.net because it's been bothering me for a couple days now. Let me just take a drink here. I'm not feeling well. So, you know, I've gotten to the point in my life now where I'm comfortable showering in the men's locker room. I, like most people my age, probably are. You know, it's no big thing anymore. I mean, when I was a kid, yes, it was embarrassing, and you kind of snickered at people that did it and stuff like that, or just thought they were weird. But I don't think as a child I ever really pointed it out and made it apparent, you know, that that it was, you thought it was weird. So the other day, I get out of the pool. There's a group of children from the YMCA, along with a male counselor. Looked like he may have been in his early 20s or so. And he is just having a hell of a time getting these kids out of the locker room, dressed and out of the locker room, right? And so I go over to him, you know, being a former camp counselor myself, and I said, "Don't let anybody tell you your job is easy." And he kind of, you know, he acknowledged, he kind of laughed a little bit and kind of rolled his eyes in acknowledgement. You know, so I thought I created this bond between me and this camp counselor, right? And so I get into the shower and I'm showering off, trying to scrub the chlorine from my body, which, man, that stuff sticks with you for a long time. I forgot how long chlorine can stick to your skin. But I don't mind the smell. I've always kind of liked the smell of chlorine. It's probably, I mean, yeah, it's bad for you. But man, I don't know what it is. It's like comforting or something. Probably because I spent so much time in a pool when I was younger. But so I'm washing myself off. And I'm washing my hair, have my eyes closed. And I hear this kid in the background go, look, hey, yeah. And he's laughing. And he's laughing and stuff, and the counselor goes, yeah, I saw it. And he kind of laughs too, you know. And so I don't think anything of it. They could be talking about something else, whatever. Then towards the end of the shower, the last kids are straggling out of the locker room. And I look over. There's this little, like, kind of half wall that kind of guards the shower space, you know, closes off, creates different spaces in the locker room, if you will. And I look over to the opening, and there's this little kid pointing at me being naked, of course, pointing at me and trying to get his friend to notice, right? And so I look over, and I stand there, and this kid finally turns his head and notices that I have noticed that he is pointing me out, because I am the only one in the shower at this point. And he stops and just, like, you know, drops his hand really quick. And drops his eyes and looks down to the floor and starts picking his shit up. And I wanted to lose my shit. I wanted to teach the kid a lesson, right? Because that's what would have happened to me when I was younger. And it probably did. You know, different circumstances, it definitely did. But so I wanted to lose my shit, but I didn't. And all I said was, would you like to take a picture or something? And I should have ended it with, like, little kid or little boy or something like that. You know, and then I kind of look over at the counselor, and the counselor is not even acknowledging that anything's wrong, right? I mean, this was kind of embarrassing for me. And I don't know, I mean, I guess it wasn't that embarrassing, you know, but I was a little bit miffed that maybe the counselor didn't, like, step in and say, apologize or whatever, you know. And so they walk out. And then I started thinking, is like, okay, well, was he laughing? I mean, this kid was, like, 10 years old, right? Was he laughing at at the fact that there was a naked man in the locker room washing himself, washing his body in front of all eyes? Or was he laughing at the size of my member? You be the judge. I will say this, and I did not want to bring race into this at all. This is not a racist comment at all. But there are, you know, there are myths out there. There is talk on the street that African Americans are better hung than a white boy like myself. And both the counselor and the little boy that were making fun of me were both black. So, You be the judge. Were they laughing at the size or were they laughing at the fact that I was naked? I don't know. I don't know what to think. I came home. I told Mairead this story and she was like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, she automatically thought that they were laughing at the size of my penis. Now, a 10-year-old laughing at you must be pretty small if a 10-year-old is making fun of your size, right? Man, this is getting really personal. This is getting very personal. This is getting much more personal than I wanted this story to turn out. Anyway, we've got a great show for you today. We're going to be featuring music. This was sent to me by Scott Rollins, one of our listeners over in... Oh, geez. Look at this. So unprepared. I'm going to look it up right now. Scott Rollins, I think he's in Atlanta. We'll see here. Come on, there he is. Scott Rawlings, Atlanta, Georgia. He sent me an email a little while ago, and sorry this has taken me so long, Scott, to get to this, but he suggested playing this band called Lille, and that is spelled L-I-L-L-E. I think they're named after a city over in France. But yeah, he turned me on to this band, Lille. They are very, very good. I have thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it so far listening to this. Now, the only thing they have here is just a MySpace page. I haven't been able to find anything else out about these guys. It's really good, and you guys should check it out. I hope you enjoy this. This song is called Melancholera. It's by Lille. Let's see. Where are they? They're out of Atlanta as well. So I think, yes, Scott said that in his email that he had seen this band live maybe once or twice. So if you guys know anything about Lille, please send me an email. Maybe if they have like a website or they go by a different name now. I don't know. There's not much on this, no shows coming up. Anything like that, I can't find anything out about these guys. But I believe this is off of Melancholera, off of an album entitled The Tall Shoulders EP. And so you can check this out at myspace.com/ Lille Music. That's L-I-L-L-E. This is Melancholera. We'll be right back with Shane Mailing and Jenny Kuglin of Seattle Pulp. Stay tuned. My only child, she sings, I weep. Melancholera. Melancholera. Too little hair. All right, we are back. That was the band Leal out of Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much, Scott, for sending that our way. So I have the two main parts of the new blog site, Seattle Pulp. Jenny Kuglin and Shane Mayling, thank you guys for coming down to Dining Room Studios. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a very nice dining room.
Thank you.
This is a good song. I like this song.
Yeah, it was just something I had never heard it before, and a listener in Atlanta sent us, said, I think you should hear this.
Yeah, it was good.
Wow, yeah.
And I can't find, this is the thing that bugs me about some bands.
Okay.
Is that I don't know if this band even exists anymore, because the only thing that they exist on is MySpace.
So it's one of those things. Where,
right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah, and so, you know, now that... we're a part of this Noisebeam network. I have to contact bands in order to play their music.
Oh, right.
And so somebody got back to me and told me that it was fine. So, but I don't know.
But you still don't know what's going on with them?
Yeah, it doesn't. There's no information here. So once again, if anybody out there knows if this band is still active,
Leal.
We should start Leal. A search
yeah.
for them.
L-I-L-L-E.
L-I-L-L-E.
Yeah. I think it's named after, it's either a town or a city in France.
It is, yeah.
Oh, because you're smart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, she's I am.
She's a geography expert.
Yeah. Just one of my many great
geographical
great
information systems.
Would you like to know Leal's population and main exports?
22,354.
So you guys are a little popular on the Noisebeam network lately. Just listening to the sibling rivalry episode.
We were being handed around like a doobie.
I know,
with you guys.
I was going to call us whores. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are sluts of the internet.
Aaron Indeed. Was upset that yeah. we're kind of giving him sloppy seconds.
Yeah, I said that while you were in the bathroom.
Sorry. Well, someone
I didn't
want to
make you
third.
Feel bad.
Someone's getting even sloppier thirds after this.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you're going to go on Grapes of Rad next.
Oh man,
yeah.
I hope so. They haven't asked us yet.
No.
Well.
If they're listening,
if they're
just
listening,
wait. What the fuck?
We are always available.
Come on, Ben. Come on, Ben. We actually went out. I went out with the Grapes of Rad guys last night to the Tennis Pro CD release at Chop Suey.
Oh yeah, that was.
I drank a little bit.
Nice.
And I woke up this morning with a very sore throat. So I hope you guys don't get sick.
Oh,
I will be very upset.
Yes,
I didn't want to
heading
tell
into
you.
A holiday weekend.
Yeah,
you
totally
sequester us in here, shut the window, and tell us you have a sore throat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, first
okay.
I say I hope my feet don't smell, right? So
this is fun.
It's we're starting things off with a bang here.
I like
on
this. Can I lick your hand?
Yes. Hold on, let me lick it first. Yeah. No. So welcome, you guys, and congratulations on the launch of Seattle Pulp.
Thank you.
Yeah. When was the actual official launch?
We had like 16 official launches.
We learned excellent. A lot about there's I guess soft launches in the internet
yeah,
world.
I had never heard of that before.
Nope.
I don't know what
me
it is.
Neither.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had no idea.
We had a soft launch, and then we had a hard launch, and then we had like a second hard launch,
and
the
then
first
you,
hard launch.
In 2 years,
enough,
in 2 years, yeah. You'll have a flaccid launch.
Yes.
Yeah. Hello. Yes.
After sooner or later, you get enough launches, you just really can't launch with the same.
Yeah.
Sort of. Verve. Yeah, so now it's going. It's officially pretty much good to go now.
I would say actually yesterday was almost like like our fifth hard launch because we finally got it's a long boring story, but we finally got some placement that we wanted on ComoNews.com.
Oh,
so,
excellent.
Yeah.
Now it's more official.
Cool. So now it's real. Now
it's very real.
Well, So hold on. So we just talk about like whatever we want about our stupid jobs.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Yeah. You can say anything.
Oh,
yeah, this is a safe space.
Thank you.
This is a space where we have smelly feet, we get sick, and we talk about penises and soft launches, flaccid launches.
Flaccid
perfect.
Launches.
Yeah, well, I just don't want
to
be boring. But because, you know, it's like the website is, you know, supposed to be like hip and cool. And
right, right.
All
yeah,
of
that's
that
our
shit.
Thing.
But then,
that's your thing.
But then Como is not hip or cool.
No.
But
no, it's
we're
not.
Supposed to be like
we're their hip and cool arm.
So we're trying to be like, you know, hip and cool without their help.
Right.
But now we're just desperate for them.
We're now yes. Like, we will not survive without them.
Yeah. Now all we want is for Como just to be like, everybody go here.
Well, and even to acknowledge your existence, right? Because that's kind of the thing, the weird thing about like the Noise Beam Network too, is that it came out, and I don't even know if I'm supposed to be talking about this, so maybe I'll have to cut this part out. But
let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's go.
I would
let's
love to talk about this part.
But apparently, some of the bigger name people had no idea that the Noise Beam thing even existed, right?
I think that's true. Yeah, it was very underground and experimental for our company.
Yes.
Yeah.
Seems like it's kind of hidden.
Well, it seems like, I mean, they're definitely trying to make a shift into getting more into, like, the younger...
Yeah, we're trying to get the kids.
Right.
Meaning, like, 30-year-olds.
Yeah, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Us. They're trying to get us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you're the youngest thing. Noise Beam.
Yeah, Noise Beam. You're even below us.
Seattle Pulp.
Really?
Seattle Pulp is right above you.
If we're going to talk about demographics, we're, I believe, 18 to 49 targeted, and you are 18 to 34.
Whoa. Yeah. What happens when those 34-year-olds turn 35?
They don't like you anymore.
Shit goes crazy. Yeah.
Dude. Oh, man, I'm screwed.
I'll tell you.
They go to Seattle Pope.
They're like, I can still go here
they make and the be switch. Accepted.
Yeah.
There is nothing, to me, there's nothing more frustrating and headache-inducing than discussing demographics.
Yeah. Welcome to Shop Talk. Shop Talk on the Air Raid podcast. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, let's switch from demographics to actually what Seattle Pulp is really quickly.
Mm. Oh God.
This is Shane's favorite question.
This is, I've been asked this question like 4 or 5 times and I still can't.
And then he just sits silently.
And he's consistently rolling his eyes as he's looking at me too.
Lord.
Are you making fun of the size of my penis?
That's what he's thinking about.
It's like an entertainment site, but not as fun.
Oh,
come on. I checked it out.
Okay. Why don't you tell us what it's about?
I think it's set up very nicely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you guys do like restaurant reviews, reviews?
Yes.
What's going on in the city?
Just the, usual bullshit, like anything that's not real like hard news. Mm-hmm. But then we're not like super editorial, We don't have a bunch of opinion pieces, really.
We have
reviews, but restaurants and art and music and books and movies and a lot of alcohol stuff and
which is very popular.
Which is really food.
In this demographic,
food and alcohol are doing surprisingly well.
Yeah,
indeed.
On our site, we have some fashion stuff. We have we have a whole bunch of. Bloggers from around the city. We were pretty excited when we got Phoenix Jones, Seattle's.
Right, he's been on this show.
Yeah. Yes. And there are people have many opinions about him, and so we're giving him a platform.
Multitudinous.
Yes, there are.
We're giving him a platform for which to have people debate his existence.
Has there been a lot of traffic then because of him too?
No.
There's been surprisingly well.
I guess no. I'm gonna have to say no.
I'm gonna go with no.
I mean, you would not even believe the conversations about this website that happened about 2 months ago and what it was going to be. It's nothing like the evolution right now. The evolution is. I've never been a part of something an evolution like this before. But at some point, I think I told Shane that Phoenix Jones, he really likes me a lot, and I was like, well, I'm kind of. I kind of know this that superhero guy, and he's called me his Lois Lane before, and I mean, we could probably get him for this site, and we thought this was going to be our just cash cow.
We thought we could essentially just name the site PhoenixJones.com.
Because everyone either loves to love him or loves to hate him, we were just thrilled, but turns out, so far, not that many page views.
The focus hasn't really been... on him very much. It's not like
he has a column
like, and we have other ones too, like my gay best friend,
he's really gay,
he likes
you got a real gay person.
We
have him in captivity right now.
he's ours.
There's not many of those in Seattle.
Nope.
So
he's not allowed to run wild and fabulous anymore.
The prairies. He just
sit.
Yeah.
He just has to sit next to me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So he, gives it to you straight. I think that's his tactic.
Oh, that's kind of funny.
I'll give it to you.
I'll give it to you straight even if I'm not. Wow, that's really clever.
That's a good
tagline.
It's good.
So, but you guys have been getting, since the first soft launch,
mm-hmm.
or flaccid launch, whatever you want to call it.
Right, of course.
like you guys have had quite a bit of traffic, right?
Yeah, not bad. But, you know, this is the thing, is when you've like put this much time and effort into something,
you always want more.
You want more, and we really don't know what's a reasonable.
Fuck yeah!
What's a reasonable expectation?
We don't even know. Hey, can we ask you?
Yeah, let's.
Since you do stuff on the internet, so clearly you know more than we do. Like, what's reasonable?
How many page views a day would you be like, that's fucking success? You guys are awesome. Like,
I'd say 10.
All right.
Funny you should say that.
Like that. Into it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
do you guys feel successful now?
Yes.
Because that's when I feel success.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's such an odd thing because, you know, I don't have any experience with the company, just like you. I mean, in a way, you know, these things just happen to be under a tent of a large company.
Right, yeah.
And it's not, I mean, I don't know how, I mean, it was Air Raid, you know, like supped up in Noisebeam? Like, were you doing this?
Yeah, we were doing this before, before Noisebeam started, and that's how we kind of got picked up.
But you have total freedom.
We do have, yeah. We have total freedom now.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see if this network thing even lasts. I mean, who knows, you know?
Well, it's an experiment.
What's the drawback on the network idea for you, maybe? Like, what's your risk?
I don't think there's really much risk for a show like mine.
Uh-huh.
You know? The thing that I was looking forward to is actually, you know, when you have a network backing you, like somebody like Fisher or, you know, Noisebeam, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
It comes with, you know, a sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? It makes it real, right? It makes it not like this thing that you just do for fun.
Mm-hmm. Right. You just kind of put it out there and you have no idea if anyone likes it. Right, and you're just sort of doing it
makes
for yourself.
It makes it more of a real thing. And then once you, if you do like a guest-centric show or you try to get interviews with people,
right,
you know, it makes them realize that, oh, okay, this isn't just something that this guy does in his
dining room.
I'm sure that's much, or you know, if not yet, it's probably growing.
Oh no, it's already made it so much easier to actually get guests on the show because they realize that, oh, people do actually listen to this thing.
Right.
You know, so, and I mean, you know, having a big company like that back you in something like this and be excited about it is pretty rad.
And letting all of us really have an amazing amount of freedom.
Right, right. Yeah, which is great so far. And we'll see how long that lasts. We'll see how long that lasts.
Until one of us just screws something up really badly, which I'm just
waiting for
every day.
Yeah.
I have nightmares.
We don't get that much freedom.
We don't get as much freedom because we're on Como. Like our stuff. Okay. We're linked.
You're linked to the actual news source.
Right. So we have lots of debates about swearing and cleavage.
To epitomize, you know, in a nutshell, what our daily life is as far as content, quality, and being on Como.
Let's clarify something really quick.
Okay. Sure.
Something that I had no idea.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Or you may have told me at the Noisebeam launch. I just don't remember.
How dare you?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I was having a good time.
Well, and
that.
As were me, so as were right, we, right. So who knows
as
what
were,
was said.
As were me, as were me too.
Let me drink some more beer.
No, but something that you guys just brought to my attention was that you are the only two that are running this whole thing.
Yes.
Yes.
I had no idea. I thought you guys had like writers. I mean, you have bloggers that you get to do stuff for you.
That's
we do. I mean, it's not it's not just us writing everything. Obviously, we have people submitting.
But
as far as the day to day,
well, yeah, the day to day has been horrible,
right?
Crushing, soul suck in the worst way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
No, it's just I mean, you know, writers. We're just not. These writers are not being fairly compensated.
Right? Are they being compensated at all?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Which
they
is
are,
you know good. Yes.
I'll say they're not being compensated to a degree that if they don't send me something, I can't blame them.
Right.
Right. Right. We're hoping that people want to be a part of it is more than like, hey, you know, you're going to pay your rent. You know, it's more like, hey, be a part of this super cool,
well, here's
super cool
the,
thing.
And this is leading into the fine line.
Mm-hmm.
This is leading into the fine line. When you try to do something that's hip and cool, especially in a place like Seattle, having a big company like Fisher back you in something like that is also a turnoff for many, many people.
Absolutely. Yes. So, this is our constant debate is how much do we try to just stand on our own, like Noisebeam, or how much do we try, you know, and then, you know, it's nice if you get something on Como, you get a bunch of people to it. So
we've become page view
hungry. completely. Where the Como crack is so good.
Yes. Tastes so sweet.
Yeah, it's just all.
Yes.
I want some of that Como crack.
Try it because you can't go back.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. It's hard.
But once you start.
Yeah.
Then you have to deal with all of it.
But then there's just
there's a lot of baggage that comes with it.
Yeah, again, the epitome, the instance that I think best explains our relationship to Como when it comes to the content that we think is good is Jenny and I had to have a serious discussion, not a long discussion, a brief serious discussion on if we could launch with Wang. In a story.
Oh, we debated Wang.
You can't put Wang in a story.
Well, this is the debate.
Wang. You did. Okay, good.
I don't know if it's speaking out of school to talk about the cleavage.
No, sure.
But we had to take down a picture of cleavage.
Because it was
just straight up. It's not like a full titty show.
No. It was a giant up close photo of cleavage, but it was there's no nipple.
No, I mean to be
there's
fair,
no underboob.
To be fair, the cleavage was sweet.
Dude, they put pictures of cleavage up on billboards, like black velvet billboards.
Yes, they do.
Yes, but you have to.
That's ridiculous.
You know, Como. Okay, so Como's very. You know, it's hard news. It's investigative journalism is very well respected.
Hard news.
So we have to be careful. Rock hard.
Okay. Whatever you guys say. Well, I think you guys are doing a fantastic job so far. And I urge everybody to go out and check it out. Seattlepulp.com, right?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Seattlepulp.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. I had it down. That's the only thing that I remembered correctly in this show so far. So we're going to go to our second musical break. We're going to play another song by the band Leal out of Atlanta, Georgia. This song is called, this song's called Robert Cohn. I think that's how you pronounce it. Cohn. C-O-H-N.
I'd go with Cohn.
Cohn?
Cohn.
Does that sound right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to go with Robert Cohn, song by Leal. And when we get back, we're going to talk about what you guys actually used to do for your day jobs.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
Because there's a couple interesting stories in there, isn't there? Yeah. That's what I thought. All right. We'll be right back. This is Leal, Robert Cohn, Air Raid Podcast. Something about those both lights.
I know when I'm not wanted.
are back. That was Robert Cohn by the band Leal out of Atlanta, Georgia. Once again, thank you, Mr. Scott, for sending that our way. We're back with Shane and Jenny from Seattle Pulp, and we were just talking about that you guys are gonna carve out a little space for Noise Beam.
Oh yeah,
we are
on the website.
Yes,
we're gonna carve it out with our bare hands.
Wow, do you live in Tron? Is that how that works?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Give a little disc.
Let's not get into that.
It'll be in our gadgets tab.
Gadgets tab, mm-hmm. Nice, nice.
It's a great place.
Yeah. Yes, awesome, awesome.
It's a great place. Good, I guess.
I'm much more enthusiastic.
Yeah, Shane's just like, Shane's just defeated.
Yeah, I know. He's just sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
all the time.
To be fair, this is about as excited as I get about anything.
It's true.
Yeah.
So, when I met you guys, yes. We were all drinking very heavily
yep.
at the Noise Beam launch party.
Yes.
We were.
Yes.
I had a great time there.
Yeah, that was super fun.
It was
yeah.
really fun.
We ended up going out to the Cha Cha afterwards. Oh.
We did.
And
which is where a lot more drinking happens.
Yes,
I must say.
I hadn't been there for many years, too. Mm-hmm. Like, once they changed the location, like, mm-hmm. I never went back to the Cha Cha.
Right.
But down in that, man, they are down in a cave down mm-hmm. there.
Oh,
I remember emerging out of there, and it was dark. And I was like, whoa, what time is it? 12? Oh, shit.
You know? What happened?
Yeah, and then I got some street food and went home.
Nice. Mm,
it was a good night.
But, yeah, that was a good night. Did you guys have to work the next day?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah.
I think there was a moment, though, I hope my bosses aren't listening, when I pulled out my phone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good.
I think Shane might have been here for this, and I just started wildly canceling meetings that I had in the morning. just declining them.
That was the least we could do.
Well, my God.
Jenny and I shut the bar down.
Oh, yeah.
Are you serious? You guys were there until 2?
Oh, yeah.
Well, and 2 bar time.
And the declining of the meetings where I thought it was a good idea to write responses.
Oh, man.
Happened around 1, maybe.
So did you start using... have you guys done this? Have you guys done this where you're actually like using excuses? Like, my dog died or mm-hmm. my grandma died, stuff like that. Have you guys ever done that?
Yeah,
yes. I was just talking to somebody about this. The other day.
Oh,
excuses
well,
I've made up.
Again,
oh, yeah,
because
yeah.
I have a super cool boss, if she ever hears this, I think she'll forgive me. I believe I declined a meeting with her and said that I had a doctor appointment. Not doctors. I think I spelled it wrong.
Yeah, it was something weird.
D-O-K.
And then luckily she was like, oh, I wasn't going to be there anyway. So it was all okay.
Once I told my work I couldn't come in because my friend got a staph infection from a tattoo. That entire thing was made up, just completely, just.
But the
none
the,
of it.
But
was
the great
true.
Detail makes
first
it
of all,
seem
you
true.
Don't call because you
call.
Don't have a friend.
First of all, this is what you get yourself kind of pumped up.
Oh yeah,
I wish everyone could see you right now.
Like you run around mm-hmm. the room, and then you're like, and then you call, and you're just like, oh god, yeah, we're heading to the hospital right now. Just I'm so sorry, you know.
And it just comes out.
It just comes out,
you know,
pure emotion.
Yeah, and you're amazed at what a good liar you are.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're just like, wow. I guess if my friend really got a staph infection, I would be fucking distraught. Who knew? I would not be a cool head.
Oh my god. I think I actually used the death of a grandmother once.
Nice.
Both grandmas are still alive.
Two more chances.
That was at a job in college.
That's even mm-hmm. better.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about it because now I have like a, you know, a career job that I'm going to stay with for a very long time.
Right.
Right.
And I mean, if I were to start making these excuses, I would have to have, you know, I'd
you have
to
keep
track.
Them, yeah.
You have I'd
to
have
keep
to keep
track.
Them written
oh,
down
yeah.
because, you know, after years later, you might forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's smart.
It's like, how many grandmas mm-hmm. do you have, Aaron?
Well, you can have a lot.
I was adopted.
I have like 6, so it's okay because my parents, multiple divorces, and then my grandparents got divorced and married again.
Wait,
so
is this a lie?
No, this is true.
Oh, this is true.
No,
I thought you were just doing the long game. first I set up all my grandparents on Air Raid.
No, that's not a lie.
Well, we talked about this because
I actually have a bunch of grandmas and they're all alive. So I well, I mean, people will think I'm lying because it'll be like the fourth one. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen, but you know,
right, right.
At some point,
sooner or later,
maybe
sooner
you could
or
gather, later, gather them around, have a family meeting, and mm-hmm. say, "Now look, I have a very important job, and I'd like it if you could all die on the same weekend."
No, you want them to die every couple weeks.
Oh, right? yeah. Well, then that's maybe it. You could just take, like,
you could schedule
bereavement leave.
Poor
it's all right. It's good.
Now I'm grandma. Getting sad.
You're
making me sad.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to your grandparents that will be listening.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah,
they're very interested
back
in
to
this.
Demographics. We're very, very mm-hmm. popular mm-hmm. in the 60 to 80-year-old.
Yes. Well, I just want to tell a quick story, though. Well, we're talking about, you know, excuses for work. I had this really elaborate one when I was a freshman in college, which, looking back, I'm proud of myself, where I called in sick, and then I gave a phone number for my doctor, and it was the phone number to one of my friend's uh-huh. dorm room, and that was back in the, you know, just to show my age, you had an answering machine, you know, so you could just, so she went in,
oh,
and
yeah.
so it was a phone number to her dorm room, and we changed the message so that she was the receptionist to the doctor's office, so if
holy
my boss
shit.
Actually called, they would get
wow.
an answering
good
machine
God.
To
wow.
a receptionist
that's like
to
some,
the doctor's office.
That's like some Ferris Bueller shit.
I know.
That is amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good oh, job. Shit. Wow.
Thank you.
Actually, you know, that reminds me that when I was the manager at, Seattle Cutlery down at Pike Place Market. I
you were the manager. Wait, did you say you were the manager?
Did you get
oh,
free
I was
meat?
The manager.
Did you get free meat?
No, it's a knife store.
Oh,
but that would be weird.
Knives.
That would be weird if the answer was yes.
Here's a tube steak.
So much more awesome.
but I woke up late, and the two owners there, like Iranians, and they're totally fucking sketchy, by the way. Just if you know, don't go there because they are fueling.
Are we gonna get sued now?
All right, maybe,
Aaron's looking
okay, maybe,
scared
maybe
over
I,
there.
Maybe I shouldn't have
no we're gonna get shot.
Maybe I shouldn't have finished that
yeah.
sentence that started
anyway
with, they are
Shane
fueling.
Mailing, who used to run this store, says
so I so one day I woke up late and I'm like, oh shit, I'm like an hour late, and I had to open the store, and they're hard asses, they're horrible people. And
they
I'm
put
like,
bamboo
what
shoots
what
on
do
your
I do?
They want you to open the store
yeah.
at the right time.
Yeah, of course,
God.
Fucking assholes. So I'm like, what do I do? And this is before, you know, cell phones, so I didn't have a cell phone like for them to call or anything.
Right.
But they were
right.
calling the house, and I'm just like, what do I do? And I'm like, just don't answer the phone. Just don't answer the phone.
This is good.
And then just hang out.
Car accident.
Take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
Then I just show up at like 1 o'clock with my boss there. And he's like, where have you been? And I go, I don't know. I just like slapped. And I just tried to be like real out of sorts and disoriented and acting like there was something. I'm like, if I weird him out enough.
Yeah.
If I weird him out enough. He's not going to do anything.
And he's going to let you go for the rest of the day.
So then
he
let me go for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And then one of my employees talked to the owner, and they're like, what happened to Shane? Like, you know, can we just, like, not show up? Like, what, like, you know, I can't believe
he was asking if he could do this.
I can't believe you tolerate this. And he's just like, with Shane, it's okay. And I'm like, yeah, because you probably think, like, I cut open a hole in time. And all of a sudden, I just showed back up. You don't want to fuck with me.
Like you were hanging out with a bunch of midgets? Yeah. Time bandits?
Yeah, time exactly. bandits.
In a Terry Gilliam flick?
I used to have, like, an E equals MC squared just, like, tattooed on my chest. I'm like, you don't want to know where I've been.
Or a map of the galaxy.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a time map, whatever it was.
That'd
yeah,
be nice.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah. Just bring Napoleon back with you next time. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
So speaking of jobs, did you ever have to create an excuse? Jenny, for your old job you were telling me about, for being you were on TV.
Yeah, I was a news anchor.
You're a news anchor.
I was a news anchor.
In Montana, right?
Pretty big deal.
Yeah?
What was it? She was a... Just so you understand, she means I was a big deal.
Yeah.
Not it was.
Oh, no. I was a very big deal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So tell us about that experience a little bit, because that
oh,
kind of...
God.
That That
how do you start? You can't say I was a pretty big deal. No, I don't know if I want to talk about it.
Well, no.
Incredibly important. And
you should know me well enough to know that I have so much to say that we don't have time. Where would I even begin?
We got all the time in the world.
Well, I'll tell one story.
Okay.
So, I was 21 years old when I was a news anchor. This is serious. You have to wear jackets with shoulder pads. You have to do your hair and wear a lot of makeup and look super serious. So anyway, it was my 21st birthday. And I hadn't actually been out the night before. I was going to go out that night. But I set my alarm. And I guess I turned it off. And I had to write the show. This is Montana. This is super ghetto. You have to write the show yourself. You have to edit the show yourself. You do everything yourself.
No producer. You are the producer.
You're the producer. You do your own hair and makeup. Come on.
Right.
I actually had to edit the video myself.
What time slot were you in?
This is from 6 to 7 a.m. I would get to work at like midnight or 1 and write the whole show and edit the whole show and do everything myself. So and no one else gives a shit about it at all. So if I don't do it, no one does.
Right.
And I slept in and no one else got to work until 4. And then they were like, well, I don't know where she is. No one gave a shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, finally at 5:15, the show starts at 6.
Yeah.
They called me and were like, where are you? And why don't we have a show? So I had to get up, get to work, which this is Montana in the middle of winter. So, I lived a couple miles away and I had to drive. I didn't have time to scrape the windshield or do anything. I had to drive with like my head sticking out the window over snow drifts. Didn't shower. So I'm just disgusting.
God. Right. And you had been drinking.
I'm disgusting.
You had your 21 run. Yeah.
Head out the window. Snowing. I like grab stuff in the dark to put on. It's wrinkly. I'm wearing like a red shirt and like a blue skirt and my hair is crazy so I get there, I try to like pull in some scripts and I'm just screaming at everyone and you know I was like so I went on air actually. Like we had nothing was done. We had no video edited, we had no scripts ready. I looked like shit.
Well, you must have been nervous as fuck too.
Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't have my makeup on, and I went on air that way, like on a morning show.
She owned it.
And I owned it. And so, you know, I'm like telling my weather guy, you know, I have to just do a lot of weather. And
yeah,
tons of half hour of weather.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So,
snowy.
Right. And then, you know, like,
it's going to snow tomorrow.
It's going to snow. We talked a lot about snow. And luckily, some of the people, like some of the tech guys on my crew, felt really bad for me. And they were like running around trying to get stuff. And it was a mess. I'm all sweaty. And
yeah.
But we get through it. And so at the end, I'm like, well, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
That it was actually really bad.
You watched it?
So I'm like, we survived. Everything's fine. And then I leave the desk and my boss is just standing at the top of the stairs, shaking his head with his arms crossed. And he points at me and beckons me to his office and told me I was going to get fired if I ever did anything like that again, which I deserved clearly.
Oh,
and then he made me watch it. Oh, shit.
So not as good as you thought it was.
No.
Was there any redeeming qualities to this newscast?
No. And no one has ever looked worse on television than I did. I was sweating.
Was it refreshingly off the cuff?
Oh, my God.
No, it was just... It was the worst thing ever. And then
sweating.
And then,
just
and
profusely then, sweating.
I'm just sweating and nothing matches and my hair's everywhere. And then, you know, viewers, they're really mean. And that this is a fairly long time ago. So people still had email and we were emailing a lot. And so after getting yelled at by my boss and being forced to watch myself as the grossest person on the planet, I go up to my desk and then people write the entire newsroom. And there's just a stream of emails.
So how many
Why does
viewers?
She look like that? I'm never watching you again. She's gross. Get her off the television.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What did that do to you? Like, I mean, were you just...
Were
you destroyed?
Well, I cried.
Yeah.
I cried.
I think I'd cry, too.
I cried at my desk, I think.
I feel like crying now.
Yeah.
This is a very sad story.
Can we take a moment just to cry?
Jesus.
Really bringing down the mood here.
I mean,
I've even heard this story before, and it's sad. just hit me in a new way.
So how'd you...
I got my shit together. And you know, slept with less than 3 alarms. And it's all fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. We can be happy.
Don't worry.
Look at me now. Yeah. Everything's great. But
Don't worry about it.
Was so... When you do a morning show, you should set your alarm. Wake up.
I'm going to put a more you know sound drop right there. Yeah, yeah. So how did you get into that, though? What made you want to be a newscaster?
Well, I didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Did?
I didn't go to school for it. I was actually a behind-the-scenes person. I was a total tomboy, and I wanted to be a photographer and a director. And I did radio, though, for a while, and they're super desperate in Montana. And, my first job paid $16,000 a year as a news anchor.
Wow.
Who's crazy enough to do that?
Right,
so,
right.
So my boss was like, oh, you can talk good. Go on the air.
I'm sorry to break this up. What else did you do while you were a news anchor?
I don't know what you're asking me right now. What?
What else? What other jobs?
You just had a sheepish look.
Oh, I was a waitress.
At where?
During?
Outback Steakhouse.
So after you would tell people the news.
Yeah, I would tell people the news.
Oh, my
Well,
goodness.
I made $16,000 a year.
Well, I know, but that's so weird, though. Like, somebody sees you.
What am I supposed to do?
Somebody sees you on TV.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying it's weird, like, that you actually did it. It's just weird, like, you know, if I saw you on TV.
It's weird.
If I saw you on TV, I'd be like, oh, she's a millionaire.
Oh, she's a millionaire. You know, and they clearly expected me to not
look
gross.
Ma'am, can I have another Bloomin' Onion, please?
Yeah, not, like, to take off that, if I may, real quick.
Go ahead.
Like, you know, the idea of TV, it's still such a motivator.
Still,
like, to be on TV is to be such a huge thing
that
like, I can't imagine how deified you were to some people. And then the idea that you would be a waitress at Outback Steakhouse would almost be impossible to understand.
And they did find it. So, I mean, it took a while for people to, and also, you know, when I was on air, I would really, you know, other than that one day, I would do my hair and my makeup, and I'm wearing, you know, like super adult clothes. And then I go to Outback and, you know, I'm wearing like a t-shirt and my hair in a ponytail and not as much makeup. And so some people, at first, it took a while for people to recognize me. So it was fine. But
once
people started to recognize me, they were freaked out.
Tell them about the big book.
This is great.
This is
good
great.
Stuff. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you feel weird about it?
No.
You didn't mind?
Not at first. No. Yeah. Because, I mean, I made more money as a waitress.
Right, right.
And it takes a while to, you know, sort of think you're a...
So fucked up.
Like a star or something, you know? I mean, don't worry, I started to feel pretty... Get a big ego. But, I mean, it took a while, and I needed to make money, and that was cash. And I worked, you know, I've been at Outback for a while, and I had Friday, Saturday night, and made a bunch of money. And I didn't want to... I had the whole bar, and I didn't want to give that up.
Totally.
I mean, so, you want to hear about the big bloke?
Tell him about the
big bloke.
Tell about the big bloke. He looks like a guy.
Well, when you this is an Outback thing that apparently Shane's really into.
Real into it. you look like the perfect guy for it.
One of the ways to upsell beer.
You mean awesome?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh yeah.
So you were sitting at a table when I was a waitress.
Yeah.
It was we had to upsell. Of course. Then you
it's like, oh, chubby guy with a beard.
Chubby guy with a beard. And, you know, there's small beers and there's big beers. And then the big beers are called big blokes. So you always go up to the guy and you put your – as long as he's not with a girl.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And you put your hand on his arm lightly.
Uh-huh.
And you say – if he orders a beer.
Yeah.
And you say, well, you look like the kind of guy that wants a big bloke.
And how
– And they never say no. Ever.
Who's going to say, would you say no?
Would you say no?
I probably would. I'm
really?
Very, very, very stringent with my money. Actually,
know.
Not when it comes
no.
with.
You
not
look
when
like the
kind of
guy.
No, you wouldn't say
I look,
no.
Would you?
No one said no.
Would you turn it down?
I am a huge coward when it comes to anyone in the service industry. If a waiter.
So if you say no,
if a
you're
waiter,
like.
If a waiter's
they're
just
gonna
like.
They're going to spit my fucking drink now.
Yeah. Yeah, if a waiter's just like, you know, I just don't want to. Do anything for you. Like, you just gonna, you know what? You're just gonna have to leave. I'd be like, sorry, sir.
Yeah, you would.
I apologize.
This is true. I've seen you.
Well, see, no,
I am fucking spineless.
I am the same way, though, Shane. I react the same way in restaurants because because you know, I've seen far too many like Meatballs movies and Waiting, with Ryan Reynolds or whatever. And you know, if you say no to something, or if you send something back numerous times because it's not done to your liking,
they get pissed.
You're gonna get spit or ball hair in your food.
Well, I don't know.
I know.
First, I mean, I'm a, you know, I used to be a waiter, so I mean, I would never put ball hair in someone's food. Jesus, ball hair?
I can tell you that I never put ball hair.
I would. First of all,
not even once.
First of all, I don't know about. I don't know how I would necessarily procure this ball hair in the first place. Would I just rip it from my own scrotum?
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you were hairless.
No,
you're like a Mexican hairless.
No, I'm not. I'm not like a like an American hairless. An Indiana hairless. No, I'm not. I'm just like, I mean, what am I going to do? I'm just like, oh,
in the middle of the kitchen.
Yeah, I'm just like, hey, table 16 was a dick to me. I'm going to pull pubic hair.
Painful.
Yeah,
what, you don't have a pair of scissors?
Oh,
behind
God.
The counter there? Come on. Let's be real here, Shane.
That's true. That's true. I got a pair of scissors.
No, and I'm not talking about like a respectable establishment.
Oh, I thought you were going to say not a respectable amount of ball hair. I'm not talking about a ton of ball hair.
Yeah, I'm just talking about a couple.
One or two.
A couple
ball
hairs.
Whatever you can just, you know, kind of get out.
You know, a loogie, whatever.
You know, just a brief rub.
But we've all seen those videos of people taking baths in the sink at Domino's and spitting on the pizzas and stuff like that.
I think people... Personally.
But that, no, I'm just saying that's where my...
Oh, really?
That's why I'm freaked out about it.
Well,
like, you know, I don't know if it's actually happening. I'm just freaked out.
My cowardice does not come from because I think I'm going to eat something weird. It just comes from just pure cowardice, I think. just pure unalloyed being scared of everything.
So I'm going to tell you. I mean, I don't want you to now be mean to service
Did you put
people.
Pube hair in a burger at the Outback? You did?
No. I'm telling you something that's trying to make you feel better.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The worst I ever, and I was a waitress for, 8 years. The worst I ever saw was that something like leftovers got dropped on the floor and then it got put in a box.
Oh.
Which is gross. I'm not trying to like, and only
I would have done the same thing
and
at my house.
And
it's out of laziness.
Yeah.
It's out of laziness. It's like an expensive steak and then your boss, if you have to like recook like a filet and then your boss loses $22. No but way. That happened once and I'm being honest right now. Maybe, I don't think I worked at the most respectable places in the world, but most service people are not licking your food and sticking it.
I think I think it's mostly because like that's fucking gross.
That's gross.
Like that's not really good revenge.
Well, I think
they don't
most
well they don't even know.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah.
I mean. Well, I think most people are smart enough to know like I would not want somebody doing that to me ever.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
So, right. I'm not going to do it to somebody
and
else.
Also, you're
but
busy.
There are people out there that are douchebags.
You're busy. You want good. I mean, you're
yeah.
not
like you
just
don't have
out
time
there
to
be
like
an
fucking
asshole.
Rub your hands together and be like, ah,
no,
you know, wait till he eats spit and he doesn't know about it.
No, no,
you know,
God,
I mean, that's
you don't
not
time.
Very...
You don't have time to do that. I mean, and
yeah,
the steak
like,
on the floor was just it was out of laziness and out of not wanting to get in trouble.
Yeah, and the worst thing I got, from some fucking asshole kitchen guy was he's just like, I put a bunch of like hot pepper on there. You know, shit. I'm like, that's fucking stupid. Like,
yeah.
But it probably made it better.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure the guy's just like, oh, this is a spicy, delicious treat. Thank you.
Right. yeah. It's going to hurt coming out tomorrow. But,
yeah, exactly.
It's fine
it's
right
delicious.
Now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think people really.
It does happen. YouTube has taught us that, but I think mostly
yes.
it does not.
Yes. Yeah, I think for
okay.
the most part.
Well, I think you okay. I really struck.
I hope you feel better
I struck
now.
A chord there.
Well, we worked in the service industry for a long time. So.
See, I've
clearly
never.
Clearly, we're sensitive.
Yeah. Seriously,
I have never worked in the service industry.
Never.
So never.
See,
wow.
I think if you did, you would understand that it's not really that. It's there's really isn't that the kind of attitude.
I mean, mostly you try to be super nice because you want tips. You know.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
You don't. You don't want to be that.
Because by the time, I mean, usually, I would say 9 times out of 10. By the time you realize someone is an asshole, you realize it because they've paid and they tipped you like
bad
shit.
Tip.
Yeah, they gave
you
like $2.
And that's when you realized
and
it.
And they're already out the door.
Yeah. And there's an art to seeing who's going to be that way, I think. Where I could
so let,
spot
okay.
it ahead of time.
So
but.
Let me ask you guys a question because this is a debate that I get into with people
okay.
all yes. the time about tipping.
Oh, fuck. We may not be the people to talk to.
There's probably a lot of people that have gotten into this debate.
Yes.
It's a very common debate here about how much you tip for bad service. Do you tip?
I always tip.
Like, let's say.
Oh, like, do you tip at all?
Well, let's say the waiter is a total dick.
Okay.
Okay.
The service was terrible. Uh-huh. Like, it took a long time to get your food. Waiter's a jerk.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
I mean, that takes into account that
If
because you're still tipping for the cook, you're tipping for
right. Of course.
Okay. You go first, and I have another thing to say about that.
If the waiter came up, took a dump on the table, and then called my mother a bitch, I would give him 15%.
Are you serious?
Well, maybe not that.
Like, what if your mother?
She's one of the best tippers. Okay, but listen to this. He's one of the best tippers I've ever known.
Really?
I tip everyone.
I tip very well. I tip very well. Well. I do.
Get fucked.
I will tip. I tip.
Wait, me or her?
That was clearly directed at me.
This is fake radio, so you gotta.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That was directed at me.
That was directed towards Jenny Kuklin.
Okay. Good.
My thing is that I will tip if there is the ability to tip. I will tip. I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care who it is.
I will always tip as well. And here's something that people might not know about. So when you're, for example, you know, when I worked at Outback, you as a waiter or waitress, you have to tip out to people. So we had to give out like 10%. If people don't tip you well, or they tip you less than that or nothing, you lose money
to
wait on them. I paid money to serve you. And that is just never okay.
Wow.
I tip out my last waiting job, I tipped out 28% every night.
So that's money you have to take out of your pocket.
This is a percentage.
This
is a percentage of, like, I mean, at some places it is a percentage of sales.
Right, right.
So if you do not get that money, you lose money.
Wow. That's weird.
I mean, I
never knew that.
Different. I mean,
yours was different. Well, that is how it is at some of the chain restaurants.
Yeah, that is true. I do know that. What I had is I counted my money at the end of the night, and whatever I had tip wise, 28% of it was divvied out to everyone else.
Yeah, and I've worked at places like that too. But there's other
And I mean, that was just my choice. I mean, 28% was just sort of an arbitrary number. But a lot of places, you can lose money, like a Red Lobster or an Olive Garden.
What about a Sizzler?
Probably a Sizzler.
Please, Sizzler. Mm-hmm. come on.
One still in existence in South Center.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
I haven't seen.
I will never go there.
I'll see you there.
I will never go there. No, I'm a good tipper. I always tip. I always tip.
Well,
15-20%.
I don't think I've tipped less than 20% in the last 4 years.
Yeah,
15% if it's bad service.
If it's bad service, I'll tip 15%.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're also and what my wife finally had to like drill into my brain was that you're also tipping for the busboy.
Yes,
tipping,
exactly.
Like the cook, you're tipping.
First of all,
yes. They're not keeping that entire tip.
Right, right. That goes out to a whole bunch of people just because the waiter was a douchebag.
Yeah.
Like,
don't screw the busboy.
Right.
I mean, and to be fair, I mean. A lot of bad, especially from my old job, a lot of bad waiters and waitresses who would be, you know, who would receive bad tips because they were bad, they would actually give out shitty tips to everyone else in the first place.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like someone who even did well by accident, they'd still like give you $2, and it's just like, fuck you. You know, like, you're a terrible person.
Which is why chain restaurants force it.
Which is, you know, understandable. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole tipping thing, like, my whole thing is that, like, you know, percentages of your meal is usually the difference between $1 and $3.
Yeah.
And if you live in a country where you're able to go to these restaurants and you're able to eat there and not really have to worry about anything,
and you
can't fucking pull out another $2 because, all they did was whatever. Mm-hmm. Get fucked. Like, I'm sorry. Like, call me a fucking socialist.
Socialist.
Like, you know, yeah. Fucking, you know.
Why don't you go live in Canada, bro?
Fucking bury me next to fucking Marx and Lenin. Like, fuck you. Like, just fucking choke up, you know. Whatever.
I get you.
You brought up a good subject for us. Yeah, we're quite passionate
she's actually,
about it.
She's actually yeah. she's also she's a great tipper.
Good.
Not as good as Shane, but a pretty good tipper.
Yeah, yeah.
You're pretty.
Sometimes I think I tip too much.
No, never.
No, there's never a note.
And you know
never
what?
Too big a tip.
You, if you, no,
well, for me though, it's
you're
like,
making up for some asshole who didn't give enough. And
that's yes. true.
Like,
yeah.
Like I would
yeah.
remember. I mean, maybe not. You know, years later, but at the end of the night, I would remember the people that gave me good tips, and I would be like,
really?
"Thank you."
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it really means something. If you get a super good tip, oh,
I'm just trying to get through your fucking
like
day.
Heaven. Being a waiter sucks so
being,
bad.
Yeah, waiting on people fucking sucks.
Oh, God, it sucks. And you're working really hard.
Yeah, you're always
and
on
you
your feet.
You smell like food and alcohol.
Oh, the smelling like food.
And
is
your
awful.
Clothes, you always reek. And
see,
ugh.
I don't think I could ever do good that Lord. Job. I don't think I have it in me to do that job because smelling and seeing that food constantly. Uh-huh. Like I'm an avid overeater.
Like, okay.
Yeah. It's like a hobby.
Just letting you know.
Just is.
It is kind of a hobby,
you're
actually.
You're
yes.
letting us know.
You will yeah. eat what is put in front of you.
I have actually all been right. thinking about mm-hmm. joining like a hot dog eating contest just so I can eat a shit ton of hot dogs.
Oh, you
do it.
Do
or
it.
Getting
this.
We will do a story if you do that.
Oh my
good.
God, please.
Good. Because I'm actually
I am
thinking
serious
about
that.
We've had one of my friends, Chaz Roberts, on the show before, and he recently ate a whole bunch of chicken nuggets. And
please define a whole bunch.
Well, yeah. It was like a competition, like they
oh, okay.
chicken nugget
okay.
eating competition.
But we're talking hundreds?
Like, I think he ate
dozens?
Like 50 maybe? Which doesn't seem
long?
Like a lot.
Doesn't seem like
that.
That
doesn't seem
like
I feel like
a lot.
I could totally
I
eat 50 chicken nuggets.
I ate 50 chicken
and I don't
wings
even eat
once.
Chicken.
Really?
Yeah.
At like Wingdome or something like that?
At Wingdome, yeah. it was on Monday. It's 39-cent wings. Or 69-cent. Doesn't matter.
So this wasn't a contest.
Yeah,
you just ate that many.
It was a personal contest.
Do you like make sure you get all... Was this like, I want to see how many I eat? Or did you make sure to like clean each one? Like all the meat off the bone?
Oh, yeah. You got to clean each one.
Would
mean,
you
it's
like,
just
would
a
you,
waste of money if you don't.
Would you like the quick Wingdome story? I'll try to make it. I'll try
yes.
to get it within 1 minute.
Do it faster than my
yeah,
stories.
Yeah, let's do it.
850 wings because for some reason that was an accomplishment for me at
it's
the
a
time.
Thing.
And then
this was this, yesterday.
I was 20.
Oh no. Okay.
I believe I was 23 or 24. I was living with my ex-girlfriend at the time. God bless her heart for this. And so I ate 50 wings. I woke up the next morning. And I'm like, oh, I feel terrible. But I went to work. I just drank ginger ale and ate soda crackers all day. And then when I got home, she's just like, how do you feel? I'm just like, oh, I don't know if I can even eat. I feel so terrible. And she goes, oh, well, you want to get like some soup, like some pho or something to kind of just like calm your stomach? And I go, oh, I'm going to get a double bacon cheeseburger and fries. So I ate that. And I'm like, oh, I feel a lot better. Everything's great. And
yeah.
Then I woke up the next morning and I was just stuck in the fetal position, like
just
like
totally
I just cramped up,
yeah,
just
yeah,
completely
yeah.
cramped up. And she had to actually carry me to the bathroom.
That happens to me every Saturday.
Hey,
that is
so
gross.
I'm really looking forward yeah. to tomorrow.
Real gross.
I know, right?
Hey, you're on your way.
Yeah, but no, I have been thinking about just joining one of those competitions.
You should do it.
Just
should,
so I can
just
eat
so
a whole bunch
it.
Of
do
that
it.
Shit.
And then
do
there's
it.
Actually a justification
do
for
it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, well, it's a competition. I'm
so
a,
have you,
I'm
have
a
you tried this? I mean, I've like in your spare time, have you seen how much you could eat? Oh, okay.
No, no, well, maybe.
You should.
You have. Tell have us. You, come on. He just... told us a gross wing
well
story.
not like
that gross.
Not like
I got a grosser one
not like hot dogs and stuff carry like that but I can put down a whole pizza like a whole large pizza
oh,
I can eat by
please.
Myself yeah it's easy
wait you want to have a pizza eating
I know
contest?
I think you two should have a
let's do that
pizza eating contest
we should have a noise beam pizza eating contest
oh my
noise
god
noise beam versus
if
pulp.
I can just yeah Seattle Pulp versus noise beam everyone on noise beam versus Jenny and I
well I also like pizza I don't eat that much though.
It'll be enough.
This is a great idea.
This
I'm so behind this.
I was really
maybe
was,
maybe Como and Fisher will pay for all the pizzas too.
You know what? I bet
this
I could get
great,
them too. I have
you.
A lot of power.
She does.
You know what? We could
she
advertise with like
lot,
we could advertise with one of the local pizza makers too.
Ooh, and we're thinking about making money.
This is a great idea.
Yeah. Wow. We
need some more pulp staff though.
We are very smart.
Josh.
Yeah,
we have an intern.
We have an intern.
He's pretty skinny though. He doesn't can't. Look like he eats a lot of pizza. Jill.
We'll find some people.
Jill okay, eats no okay. pizza.
Yeah, I got some friends. Some you friends guys in some will, fat places.
You guys will kill it. Riley.
Oh, come on, man. I hope he doesn't listen to this.
Ouch. Ouch. So, Shane, you used to be, after you were a waiter, probably.
No, actually, I just quit my waiting. Oh, you my did? Waiting job at Cha-Cha.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay.
I quit, like, 2-3 months ago.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Well, at Bimbo's. I was a waiter at Bimbo's.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah. Great, great burritos.
I liked them. I didn't know why. You know, some people say they're like fucking bullshit, but I think they're pretty good.
I thought they're pretty good.
Fuck, bullshit.
I think I like Gorditos so better.
I've never had
I like Gorditos better.
Gorditos is better.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're up here. You can actually go to it. We can't
right,
really make
right.
it.
Yeah.
I did that in freelance writing.
Freelance writing. That's what I wanted to talk about a little bit. Because you've done some writing for The Stranger, correct?
I did, yes.
And where else?
Well, I still actually am able to write for this metal magazine called Decibel.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah.
And I used to do a lot of production writing for like Tape Op and EQ, like music production.
Okay.
Like engineering and producers just for albums and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Super boring. You would actually like it because they talk about mics and stuff.
Yeah, I really get into
you like
that was a strong reaction.
Yeah. You're just staring at that mic like it's just a beautiful breast.
Yeah. Oh, you but beautiful it, Nyman.
That is a beautiful microphone.
It is. It truly is.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And just, you know, I don't know, websites stuff.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
trying to think of other.
So did you go? Film stuff. Did you go to college? In you know, with that direction in mind,
I have not gone to school for writing. No.
Oh, really? No. Oh, okay.
I went to school for sociological law, and then
really?
I dropped out to be in a metal band.
Nice. Yeah. And that's what you're in right now. You're still in the
I
same.
I still
metal
do
band?
That. No. Well, slightly different.
Okay.
Just different drummer. But I did that. I dropped out to be in a metal band and just bum around for like 5 years, 6 years, and then. When the band kind of broke up, I needed something to do, so I started freelance writing.
Uh-huh. Just with, like through connections that you've made with being in the band or something like that? Is that how you
just
got
sort
gigs
of,
or what?
Just sort of pitching. Just
oh, okay.
I don't know. I just kind of came up with the idea.
Nice.
Like, I ended up, like, writing for Seattle Times for some reason, and I thought writing for the Seattle Times was going to be, like, my huge break. That was
my
first big piece. And I'm like, oh, my God, I got, like, a front page, like, entertainment story.
Oh, really?
On the weekend at Seattle Times.
It was a pretty big deal.
I am set. No more work for me. And then, like, 6 months later, I'm just like, oh, my God, I've run $10,000 off of my credit card.
Oh, shit.
I have made a huge mistake. And then I just kind of, you know, clawed my way back up.
So is that kind of the nature of writing for, like, newspapers and stuff? Or
well, writing for
just
newspapers
being like
is a fucking... No one do it. If anyone's listening for some reason and they want to do that, don't.
Yeah.
It pays
yeah.
nothing and it's a dying industry.
Well, yeah, but it's like, okay. But just being like a freelance writer, is it the same as being a full-time writer for the Times? You're always vying for that position, right? Getting the front page story or, you know, trying to get your story heard. Or
I don't
whatever.
Know. I mean, like, I was never vying for anything.
Right.
Like, it just stuff would pop up.
Oh, okay.
I mean, really, I was just looking for stuff to pay my rent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest problem is just that it doesn't pay your taxes. So you end up with all of this money.
Right, right.
That isn't that much money to begin with. And you're just like, okay, well, I have to save, like, 30% of this to pay taxes.
Oh, God.
Oh,
and then
I
you
hate that.
I could
hate
never
that.
I could never do that.
And then you don't.
I need it taken out of my paycheck.
Yeah,
I am
exactly.
not responsible enough for
no,
that.
No, definitely. And
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so then you just, you know, I mean, I still haven't paid my taxes for this year. I probably owe like $4,000.
Man.
And you know what I'm going to do?
What?
Fake my own death.
You're going to call.
No, you can't, because then I'll be a loan publishing.
Well, then, no. Then you can't use that excuse again.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, that's true.
I need to use that for something bigger.
Right, right.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Tell the IRS that your grandma died.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, the IRS isn't listening to this.
But I'm gonna like, you know, try to write off, like, every single goddamn thing I've done.
Ever.
Ever. To somehow.
Well, I think you can pretty much, too.
You
when
can write
you
off
do
a lot.
Work freelance.
Yeah, you can write off a ton.
You can do a lot.
But now you have a real job.
Now I have a real job, and I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah. So how'd you come across this the Seattle Pulp thing?
Oh, it's a great story. Craigslist.
Craigslist. Oh, perfect.
I lost.
That's really interesting.
I posted the job on Craigslist.
Yeah, I lost my main paying job. The company dissolved. It was like a website thing.
Okay. Yeah.
And well, it pretty much dissolved, and so I just needed a new job, and then I found this job.
Nice.
Somehow. It's very exciting.
Somehow.
Even though I had absolutely no credentials to actually get the job.
Please.
Yeah.
I made a terrible decision. Yeah. Is what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think you guys are doing a great job. And I wish you the best with Seattle Pulp. I think there's bigger things to come for Seattle Pulp and Noisebeam.
Yes.
So I'm
together.
And
together.
By bigger things, you mean pizza eating contest.
Pizza eating contest.
This is going to be
sponsored
huge.
By Romeo's.
Yes. Romeo's, are you listening? Romeo's.
Romeo's, are you listening?
Yeah. I love
or no,
Romeo's
isn't because Romeo's went under. Now it's Rotsy's.
Oh. No fucking way. Really?
Yeah. Romeo's went under.
Oh. When?
Romeo's went bankrupt a couple months ago.
No fucking way.
My favorite
know
pizza.
That.
I love their pizza, but then last time I got some pizza and it was fucking terrible. I must
well,
have been
see, now
the
they're
bankrupt
all
probably
days.
Why they went under.
They're yeah. all owned by separate people. Now the guy on free advertisement for Rotsy's on Greenwood.
Rotsy's.
They changed
delicious.
The name. And it's the same menu, and
okay.
it's absolutely delicious. I love that place.
I
it's my
do
favorite
love,
pizza
I do
place.
Love Romeo's.
Well, yeah. okay. We'll find somebody.
Yeah.
This is going to happen.
Yeah. I would love to eat a bunch of Romeo's to the point where I regretted it.
And Shane,
I believe you.
Yeah, yeah. I can eat a full Romeo's large pizza.
Oh, come on, please. I can do that.
I cannot.
It's so hard to impress you.
That. I mean, when you're talking about eating pizza.
Pizza is one of his
favorite
foods.
You can impress me with it.
By far.
You can impress me with most anything else you say. You were able to create a child that beats
yeah.
pizza.
I created human life.
Yeah.
What have you done this year? Huh?
I definitely ate more than a large Romeo's pizza. I'll tell you that for sure.
Quite an accomplishment.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, well, where can we find you guys on the net?
SeattlePulp.com.
Also on Facebook, also on Twitter.
Awesome.
And those places.
What's your handle on Twitter?
At Seattle Pulp.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Clever.
Yeah.
And on
we're
Facebook,
trying to make that kind of we're trying to make that kind of better the Twitter, but like actually
the Twitter's hard.
Oh,
to
we're
do,
making
man.
It better.
Twitter's
because you've taken over.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it. Actually, you know, speaking of, well, not speaking up on this, but you mentioned something about Cash Cab.
Yes,
I actually
there was a Cash Cab tweet.
I tweeted about Cash Cab, saying that I would be great on a TV show called Tango and Cash Cab.
See, and I brought this up when you guys got here off air. That I was watching Cash Cab. I think it was actually earlier today.
Yeah.
And there was a dude sitting in the back
yeah.
of the Cash Cab,
uh-huh.
and he looked exactly like you.
That's real
when weird. You wear glasses.
Oh, when I wear glasses.
Yeah.
Wear glasses.
And so I was like, holy shit, this is going to be a great show. Because I really did actually think it was you.
It's just an hour
and
of
then
Cash
we
Cab.
Really
yeah.
disappointed
you. Like, what's that guy
all?
Like?
Nice.
What's it like when those lights turn on above your head?
I could have made
people
it.
Think
I
you look like
that
people.
All up. Yeah, I get a lot of I look like people.
You got doppelgangers out there.
He does.
Yeah.
No one ever tells me that, but you look like people.
I do look like people. That's my thing.
That's your thing.
Yeah.
Maybe you could get paid for that.
Probably.
I probably could get paid for that.
Impersonation of guys on Cash Cab.
Yeah.
You could go down to Hollywood Boulevard and just stand there as like, I'm a guy from Seattle. Yeah. Not myself, this other guy that
yeah.
was there.
It's yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's like the Michael Jackson impersonator.
Yeah.
And then like that guy that raps about blue blockers. You remember that? I actually got him to do, I paid him $15 last time I was in Hollywood to do the blue blockers at.
Are you serious?
You
yeah.
Did
I was,
not.
Yeah, it's Dr. I filmed it. I was real
oh
into
my
it.
God.
He yeah. was, and he was super not into it. He's like, tell me your name and give me a dollar. And I'll rap about it. And I'm like, I just want you to do the Blue Blockers ad from like 1992.
Did he roll
like,
his eyes?
And he's wearing sunglasses, but probably.
Right.
And,
yeah, he was rolling.
I'm sorry.
He was continuously rolling his eyes.
And he's just like, oh, I don't know if I can do that Blue Blockers ad. The only, Dr. Geek, he's like, I don't know if I can do that Blue Blockers ad. The only reason you're talking to me. And then I'm like, here's $15. Do it,
15.
Asshole.
You are a good tipper, man.
Oh,
wow.
Is that what you had in your wallet? Or
I
did you plan that? You're like, I've
I wanted to hear it so bad. And he did it. And he did it. And it was as good as I imagined.
Good. Yeah. That's great. That's great, man. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
It's been great. It's been great. Maybe I can interest you in a shot of bourbon before you leave, because you did roll up in a taxi cab.
Yes, we did. Fuck yes, you can.
Excellent. Well, you can, of course, find our show, air-raid.net, on the World Wide Web. That's www. Also, we're on Facebook and Twitter as well, Air Raid Net. And check us out on Stitcher and on iTunes. And remember, all these little reviews that you guys leave us on iTunes really helps us out, because we're now part of this network thing. The big wigs need to see that people are listening to the show. So please leave us reviews and little star ratings. It takes a couple seconds. Anyway, we're going to go out today with this song called Blue Coat Boy by the band Leal from Atlanta, Georgia. And once again, if you know anything about this band, please send me a fucking email. Let me know that they still exist, because they're awesome. And once again, thank you, Scott, for sending this along. So, Blue Coat Boy, this is Leal, and we'll see you next week.